Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Some of you will have heard one, two, or three of the previous sermons in this series on the Beatitudes, the eight blessed are sayings of the Lord Jesus at the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount. Some will have not heard them, so there are three preliminary points which some of you may have heard before. Firstly, although as the Apostle Matthew tells us, crowds were present when Jesus went up on a mountainside and sat down, his disciples came to him and he began to teach them. So this was teaching for his disciples, not for the crowds, though they may have heard it too. So if you are a follower of Jesus, most of us, I think, here today would think of ourselves as followers of Jesus, then this teaching is for you and for me. My second preliminary point is the meaning of the word blessed, which each of these Beatitudes begin with. It's good to compare versions of the Bible. The Good News Bible has the word happy instead of blessed. The Amplified Version has joyful, nourished by God's goodness. The word seems to mean happy in the sense of someone whose place in life is an enviable one. In that sense, happy. It's not a superficial happiness, not a jollity, but a deep and lasting happiness. My third preliminary point is that the first four of the eight Beatitudes are to do with our relationship with God, and this is the last of the first four. The second are to do with our relationship with other people. They are, as John Stott wrote in his commentary on them, eight principal marks of Christian character and conduct. The first three, about being poor in spirit, mourning, and being meek, that's to say they're about acknowledging our spiritual poverty, mourning our sinfulness, and having a humble attitude of meekness. They're about what God wants from us. So today we come to the fourth in the series. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. This obviously refers to spiritual hunger and thirsting, not to physical hunger and thirst. They're strong words. We should really want righteousness. We should really desire it. We should really long for it. That's what Jesus was meaning. It's not the only place in Scripture where longing is described. The writer of Psalm 42 begins, "As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? My tears have been my food day and night, while men say to me all day long, where is your God?" The prophet Isaiah begins his 55th chapter, "Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters." And three verses later, "Give ear and come to me." And three more verses later, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near." In Jesus' words we are considering today are based upon Old Testament scripture, as his words so often were. Psalm 107, verse 9. "For he," the Lord, "satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things." He satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. Later in his ministry, the Lord uses the metaphor of thirsting again, as we heard in our gospel just now. On the last and greatest day of the feast, that's the Jewish Feast of Tabernacles, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink." hungering and thirsting describes a strong desire, a real want, a need that will not go away. In our verse today, it is a hunger and thirst for righteousness that we should have. It's a total contrast with worldly ambition, desire for success in the world, desire for riches, desire for promotion. We should desire righteousness. We should hunger and thirst for righteousness. I'll come back to that. But what does the word righteousness mean in this saying of Jesus? There are three possible answers: legal righteousness, communal righteousness, or personal righteousness. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Christians at Rome of the righteousness that comes from God through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe, Romans 3:22. He explained that we are all reckoned righteous by God because of our faith in Jesus, who died on the cross to atone for our sins. It's a legal standing, righteous rather than guilty. All who turn in faith to Christ receive it. This was the great truth that had got lost from view in the Middle Ages, was rediscovered by Martin Luther, as we shall be hearing next month. We celebrate the 500th anniversary of the Reformation, probably the most important anniversary in our lifetime. Believers have that legal righteousness already, so it's not that righteousness to which Jesus was referring in the Sermon on the Mount. Was he referring to communal righteousness? This again is a form of righteousness to which the Bible refers. The prophet Amos in the Old Testament spoke about this. He said to the greedy, extortionate Israelites of his day, "You turn justice into bitterness and cast righteousness to the ground." Instead, he called them to let justice roll on like a river, righteousness like a never failing stream. God cares about communal righteousness, about righteous government, righteous judgment in the courts, righteous conduct in business, righteous behavior in families. But the previous three Beatitudes are all about personal thinking. So I do not think it was communal righteousness that the Lord Jesus had in mind on this occasion, though he certainly spoke about it at other times, particularly with regard to the teaching and conduct of the Pharisees. That leaves the third meaning of righteousness, personal righteousness, our conduct, our doing righteous things and not doing unrighteous things. Personal righteousness involves making right choices of what we do day by day. It involves seeking to avoid temptation, or rather seeking to avoid situations we know will be tempted. It involves standing up for others who need help, standing up for what is right, however unpopular that may be. It involves helping others who are in need. It involves being unashamed to be a follower of the Lord Jesus. I could go on, more could be added, but you know what I mean by personal righteousness by now. As the Good News Bible translates it, happy are those whose greatest desire is to do what God requires. Happy are those whose greatest desire is to do what God requires. We're not to make a show of our righteousness. The beginning of the next chapter, Matthew 6, Jesus said, "Be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men to be seen by them." He went on to tell them not to make a show of their giving or of their praying or of their fasting, like some of their hypocritical fellow countrymen were doing. But we are to seek to be holy. The Apostle Peter wrote in his first letter, "But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, Be holy, because I, your God, am holy. Later, Peter wrote about Jesus, He himself bore our sin in his body on the tree, so that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. 1 Peter 2:24. Because Jesus has borne our sins on the cross, we should reckon that sin is something we do not do. We should seek to live righteously. Now, in our verse today, Jesus calls us to hunger and thirst for righteousness. Have a real desire to be righteous, to long to be righteous in all we think and speak and do, in all we avoid thinking and speaking and doing. And not just a wistful desire, but a craving, an earnest longing to be righteous. In the early 1970s, I was in Derbyshire, was vicar of one parish, simultaneously rector of another, and simultaneously priest in charge of a third. They were all small villages, full of people reluctant to change, especially because they feared what their fellow villagers would think. For the most part, it was hard going. I began running dry spiritually. But I knew those who had been touched by the Holy Spirit in their ministry, in what became called the charismatic movement. I began to hunger and thirst for righteousness in my life. I booked in for a conference organized by the Fountain Trust, an organization which no longer exists because there came a time later when it felt its work was done. It had been a means of blessing others, friends of mine. And through that conference, I was refilled with the Holy Spirit. I came home rejoicing with a fresh zeal for ministry. It is good to hunger and thirst for righteousness. Why? Because of what the Lord Jesus said, Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. They will be filled. That's his promise. They will be filled. He didn't say they may be filled. He didn't say they will be half filled. He said they will be filled. As the Good News Bible translates it, God will satisfy them fully. God will satisfy them fully. So what about you? What about you? I expect most of us here have a desire to be better than we are, but maybe we've given up hope of personal improvement. I believe the Lord Jesus is saying to us today that we don't have to give up. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. We do the hungering, he does the filling. That's his word today to each one of us. It's something we're to go on doing, hungering and thirsting for righteousness. As we heard in our reading just now, later in his ministry, Jesus said, If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. And drinking is not something you just do once. It's something you do continually. Being hungry and thirsty for righteousness is not a one-off thing, but something we should do continually. And if we do, he said, we will be filled, we will be satisfied. As the Virgin Mary said when she's expecting to give birth to the baby Jesus, he, God, has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent empty away. Some of you, as I said earlier, have heard some or all of the three previous sermons in this series. You've reflected on your spiritual poverty in the first sermon. You've mourned the sin in your life through the second sermon. In In the third sermon, you've been encouraged to accept meekly whatever is God's will for your life. Or maybe this is the first sermon in the series you've heard. But whichever's the case, maybe there has been a time before this when you have hungered and thirsted for righteousness. But whether or not you have, it's most important today that we do not just hear God's word, but be doers of God's word, as the Apostle James urged his readers in his New Testament letter. Many of us will know how the Sermon on the Mount ended. Jesus told a simple parable about a man who built his house upon rock, another built his house upon sand. When the storm came, the first house stood firm, while the second house collapsed. We're apt to think that Jesus was speaking about those who were listening to him and those who were not. And that's what I thought for many years. But if so, we misunderstand what he was saying. Both groups of people listened to Jesus. Jesus said, "Everyone who hears these words of mine and put them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand." So we must put into practice what we hear from the Lord Jesus. Otherwise, we're building on sand. So in three simple steps, I'm going to conclude by trying to help each one of us here this morning put these words into practice. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Let us pray. Firstly, we'll have a minute for silent reflection, so that each of us can reflect, do we wish to hunger and thirst for righteousness in our lives, in our conduct? A minute to reflect in silence. Secondly, I'm going to pray a prayer, one line at a time, and pause after each, for you to repeat the lines silently to God, if you wish to do so. I'll not be asking you later whether you prayed the prayer or not. That will be entirely between you and God. Lord Jesus Christ, thank you for your beatitudes. Thank you for making clear how you wish us, your followers, to live. I wish to hunger and thirst for righteousness. Please help me to do so day by day. Thank you for your promise that those who hunger and thirst will be filled, will be satisfied, that you will do it in us. I make this prayer knowing you will keep your promise. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. And thirdly and finally, I will pray briefly. Lord Jesus Christ, thank you for all here who hunger and thirst after righteousness. May your name be glorified through our lives. Amen.